Our text today is a very familiar set of parables found in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 24, and I'm using the Message translation. These are such familiar parables that I invite you, if you can, to hear them for the first time. Hear them with your hearts. Hear them with your ears and hear them with your soul to the ancient words of our faith. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased, bless their hearts. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treated them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. "Celebrate with me, I found my lost coin." Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Then he said, "There once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all this money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day. Here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand." He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive. Given up for lost, now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you, if you will, to pray with me. O God, who searches for us day and night, who loves us in spite of us, who calls to us in a voice that is so still and small at times we ignore, come to us right now. Come into this place. Come into our hearts and heal us. Save us. Redeem us. And wrap us in your arms. Transform us this moment. And help us to once again claim our identity as the beloved son and daughter that we are. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. We continue today with our series of Back to the Basics, where we're examining what it means not only to be a Christian, but to be a Christian in the wide and deep pool known as Methodism. And our lesson today is God's seeking love. Some of you may remember the store that used to be downtown called Harvey's. Yeah, I'm dating myself. Yeah. I remember that we would go down there. My mom would take my younger brother and I down there at Christmas time to see the decorations. And I was mesmerized by the horse they used to have in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was about 5 or 6, and we went down. Mother, my younger brother Bob, and I went down, and we were doing Christmas shopping, and it was crowded. And back then, the clothes were on those circular clothes racks. You know what I'm talking about? And I got to playing among the clothes, and I wasn't listening to Mom. I know, big shock. And I got so involved in the game that I was playing, I never noticed that the feet changed. They were outside the rack of clothes. And I popped out, and my mom was gone. And I panicked. I just went into this panic. I didn't know where my mom was. And I began to cry and cry because I didn't know anybody. And like mother's ears are, she could hear the cry of her child. And she came and scooped me up. And after I've settled down, then gave me the lecture about paying attention and knowing where she was. But I was lost. And then I was found by a mother's love. I can always remember that anytime I see a department store. You see, in these three parables, there was something that was lost, a sheep, a coin, and a son. And there was something that was found. And there was great rejoicing. Each and every time something was found, there was great rejoicing. And in these parables, that's normally how we look at them, the thing that was lost and the thing that was found. But I think we miss one of the central points to these parables, and that is about the God who never stops seeking us, the God who's always chasing us, the God who is always calling to us, the God who stands ready to come when the children cry out. You see, God's love is a seeking love. God's love is real to us. Sin is real. But God never gives up on us in spite of sin. Sin does not define us. That is not who we are. For we are beloved children of God, created in the image of God, and God loves us even when we sin. And God searches for us even before we know that we need God. God is looking for us in the high and low places, in the byways, in the highways. God is reaching out to us. That is that love that won't give up on us, that love that won't let us go. And we know that as prevenient grace. It's entirely the work of God. Wesley called prevenient grace the awakening of the soul. That grace that goes before us and around us and behind us to keep calling deep to our souls, reminding us who we are. And it prompts us to first please God. And it's the working in our lives before we even realize that we need God. You see, we are incapable in and of ourselves of responding to God. We need grace to help us respond to God. We need God to reach out to us so that we can have grace to reach back to God. We call that prevenient grace. We have free will. I don't know why God gave us free will. And some of us have more free will than others. Amen. And that means that grace is resistible. We can say yes to grace. We can say maybe to grace. We can say not now to grace. And unfortunately, we can say no. We can turn our backs and walk away. But the truth of the universe is that does not change God's mind on us. As many times as we say no, God says yes. As many times as we say, I don't know you, God says, I know you. As many times as we say, God, I don't love you, God says, I don't care, I love you still. Isn't that amazing? But we do have free will, and we can turn from this grace. Yet prevenient grace continues to call to us over and over and over again to remind us of who we really are. Kind of like Simba had to be reminded.
Oh, sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again!
He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down?
Stop!
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Are created to be. Beloved. Beloved, cherished, and adored sons and daughter of God. Prevenient grace whispers to us our true identity until we come to the realization of who we are. That's what prevenient grace does for us. Remember. Remember. Remember who you are, children of God. Remember. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen and amen.